Dr. Nancy Rigotti is director of the Tobacco Research and Treatment Center at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston and has done research on the question of how regulations like those that take effect today might actually work. Would they be effective? And Dr. Rigotti, let me ask you, do we have any reason to believe that this sort of regulation will be effective?
What the FDA is doing is really confirming what already exists around the country, which is that all 50 states already ban the sale of tobacco to minors. These laws are not necessarily well enforced in most places, and therefore tobacco is pretty widely available to kids. And that's part of why the FDA chose to make these additional regulations. It's now a federal standard, and the FDA has taken the additional step of requiring that merchants ask kids or young people who are trying to buy tobacco for identification to make sure that they're not just guessing that this kid looks that to be 18 or 19.
But first, for you to say that the existing laws have not been enforced very strenuously would be one of the great understatements of our time. People underage are buying cigarettes routinely all across the country.
Yes, that's true. But what our studies and others have shown is that with consistent enforcement, and by consistent enforcement we mean where there's a regular monitoring of whether or not young kids can buy tobacco by having young kids working with the public health officials actually go in and try to buy tobacco in all the stores and from all the vending machines in a town. What we've shown is this: if that's done on a regular basis and then the merchants who sell are fined and potentially even threatened with the loss of the license to sell tobacco, that does cut down the likelihood that merchants will sell tobacco to an underage kid.
And who is doing this? Public health departments or local police departments?
Generally, it's done by the public health departments, and probably best done by the public health departments rather than police, although it differs because most of this activity is done at the local government level, and therefore there are differences from one community to another. But by and large, it's probably best done by the local public health officials who can consider it sort of like the way they go around and check restaurants. They can go around and check people who are selling tobacco.
There is a more pessimistic view of all these regulations, which is that the attraction between a smoker and a cigarette of whatever age is so great that they will find each other, and that, in fact, the governments have been unable to keep youngsters away from things that are blatantly illegal for them to use, and that, try as we might, we're just not going to succeed. How do you answer that?
There are some preliminary studies that suggest that it does work if the enforcement can get very good, so that the chance that a store will sell tobacco is less than 5%. When they get the compliance to that point, there are a couple of studies that have shown that smoking rates have gone down in junior high school students. In the bigger picture, I think that it's probably true that supply-side restrictions on smoking by themselves are an important piece but shouldn't be the only piece for any kind of tobacco control. In other words, what we're doing with these kinds of regulations is trying to keep the kids away from tobacco, trying to make it less available, but we also need to work at reducing the demand for cigarettes among the young. And that can be affected by raising the price of tobacco, by reducing tobacco advertising, ideally eliminating it, or certainly making it much less attractive and desirable than it currently is.
Does all the emphasis on, as you've said, supply-side controls here suggest that the kind of education that's been done, the sort of prevention against kids starting smoking, hasn't been working?
I think that the education that exists and the prevention programs are up against a pretty tough opponent. When you think of our environment, it's surrounded with the environment for kids is saturated with positive images of smoking. Cartoon characters, handsome people. It certainly isn't truth in advertising, but there's a lot of positive messages, so it's very hard to counter that with education alone. When we're dealing with kids, with young people, it's very hard to convince them about the health effects of what they're doing. I think we need to focus on other factors, such as the fact that kids are essentially being manipulated by a multinational industry that is taking their money and will ultimately deprive them of their independence and health. That's not how kids see starting to smoke. They see it as a way of being attractive and cool.
Well, Dr. Rigotti, thank you very much for talking with us.
Sure. Thank you.
Dr. Nancy Rigotti is the Director of Tobacco Research and Treatment at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston.